All right. Welcome back, everybody. Four for the course, episode 11, Abandoned Trails. Continue to go down the list of the beautiful coast of Oregon. Tonight, we're going to talk about what might be my favorite track out on the Bandon Dunes property, Abandoned Trails. So, Matt, Dave, Tommy, welcome. We're just reminiscing about some of the holes that we played and some of the views. And Dave was commenting on what might be the best view on the property, so I'm sure we'll get there. But Dave, why don't you take us there? What type of memories does Bandon Trails bring back for you?
Yeah, I think it was just a nice, it was just a pleasant surprise, I think the more I think about it, it's just like you're so used to just the ocean and kind of like really a lake style. And then, you go to trails and it's just so cool cutting through the forests and seeing kind of, it feels like the most like nature of all of them. I mean, certainly they do an incredible job across all of the tracks of just like kind of incorporating the course layout into what they're given versus forcing anything. But I would say just with trails, it was so unique to just like stand on a tee box and just see all these pines. That's probably not what they are. I should know what they are, but basically the infamous pine type tree that just is throughout all of the coast of Oregon. And it's just so different than the rest of the tracks, and I think that's what I really enjoyed about it. It's really difficult, but it was super fun, and I loved it. It was probably I think it was my second favorite. I think I liked Bandon the best, and then I liked Trails the second. So
Yeah,
yeah, it was awesome.
we were just joking about how we played Pacific Dunes in the morning and then headed over to Bandon Trails. And what was it, the second hole? We asked our caddies, we're like, yeah, what's the toughest 36 hole walk on the property? They said, oh yeah, definitely Pacific Dunes and then Bandon Trails in the afternoon. Really tough to finish before the daylight ends. We're like, oh, good. All right, great. So we were exhausted after this
We did
36 hole
that
day.
twice, to
Yeah,
be
I do
clear.
remember that. So,
And it was virtually dark as we were finishing,
It
if I
was.
remember
Yep.
correctly.
Yeah, to give the audience once again the tens and tens of those listening, we were there in September, so I have not memorized the daylight calendar for coast of Oregon, but I feel like we were teeing off, somewhere around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and finishing
Around
up
there.
right about when the day was ending. So. Before we'll save Tommy for last because I know he's going to give us some background on the track and some history and maybe walk us through, I think you said the three types of topography on Bandon Trails. So Matt, I'm going to go to you. What do you remember about Bandon Trails? You can even hit us with some likes and some dislikes, but maybe just, when you think Bandon Trails, like what comes to your mind first?
And it's just vastly different than any of the other courses that you play out there. And I think the cool thing that I remember from the first time that we played it was the marine layer that was rolling through, kind of giving it that misty looking fog into the woods. And that was so cool. It felt like you're in some fairy tale. The core Crenshaw design and the layout's really cool. I mean, it's pretty challenging visually. Some shots can make you look a little, they look a little nervous, even if it's like wide open. So it does play some tricks with you, at least with my eyes, which I thought was pretty cool and made it memorable. Couple of holes that we'll get to, but just that fog and that marine layer rolling through the trees. And then that, the picture that Dave sent to us before we started, that vista where you can kind of like see most of the property. And I think it was Mike Kaiser got taken there by, I forget who the gentleman is, but there might be some story that comes up later. And they have the plaque that dedicated to it, as that's the spot when he decided to buy Bandon Dunes. That's pretty sick.
That view on 14 tee box is amazing. And the fact that we had to take a pickup truck to get from 13 green to
Yeah.
14 tee was awesome. We were
Yeah.
always like, yeah,
That
I mean,
saved
you could
us.
probably walk this, right? The caddies were like, yeah, the walk sucks. Like,
Like
you just,
you
yeah,
could
you
walk
could.
it, or
So,
you could be smart.
yeah.
I think
Yeah.
Kangaroo
Shot.
Dave, after lugging two of our bags, was like, "Yeah, we're taking the truck, boys."
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. On the back half of a 36-hole day, for sure. So,
totally.
well, Tommy, why don't you
Bring us
take it away? I
home,
like,
Tommy.
yeah, tell us a little bit about Bandon Trails, maybe when it was created. We've hinted at the vision here, but maybe just talk a little bit about the course architecture and some history.
Yeah, sure. It was the third course at Bandon, opened in 2005. It was designed, as you know, kind of alluded to by Cor Crenshaw. Kind of the story behind it was Kaiser was looking for somebody to do the third course and kind of approach them, and you know, a lot of their peers, their friends said, you know, hey, you don't want the third course. It's, you know, it's the inland course. It's not on the ocean. And kudos to them. They kind of said, hey, well, you know, let's go take a look at it. Like, you know, obviously we don't want to design something that everybody's going to go and, you know, not want to play because it's, you know, lesser than. But if we can, you know, build something that's neat, interesting, complements the other two, like, absolutely we will. And, you know, they went out, they looked at it. Ultimately, we're really attracted to kind of the three totally different landscapes that, you know, Matt alluded to earlier. You know, if you haven't played it, it kind of starts out on the dunes, like, you know, many of the others do. You know, kind of the first hole, you're playing through the sand dunes, and then kind of holes two through six or seven, you know, go out through what they call the meadow, which, you know, is kind of surrounded by trees, but there's kind of these, you know, flowers and, you know, things on the ground, and, you know, you kind of get a different feel. And then you get past that and you're, you know, straight Pacific Northwest forest, just thick trees, tall trees, playing through it. Climb your way up the mountain. You know, you kind of get to 14, play that hole, and then, you know, you kind of come down, and 15 to 17 are kind of the, you know, back through the meadow, and then 18 is the closer through the dunes. So interesting layout. But you know, kind of what I remember is really the nature aspect of it, like, you know, Matt and Dave alluded to. Oddly enough, as I was kind of reflecting on it, I didn't necessarily remember individual holes until I went back and looked at, you know, kind of pictures and the flyovers, you know, contrasted that with packed dunes, where, you know, I vaguely or I vividly remember, you know, many of the individual holes. Out at Trails, what I remember is really just the walk. And, you know, you're walking through the forest, but between each hole, you know, it's a challenging walk between holes, but you're kind of, you know, walking through mulch and through different topographies, and, you know, it's just kind of a neat way to wind your way through the forest. So, you know, I remember that. I remember, you know, you had turkeys and deer walking around the golf course, you know, kind of back there. And, you know, as I was reflecting on it, the other thing that I recall is silence, really. You know, you get back into the trees and none of the holes are really, you know, next to each other. It's just kind of, you know, you and your friends through the forest playing golf, and you don't hear anything. You
Yeah.
realize quickly how loud the ocean is. Especially when you play pack in the morning and go play this course in the afternoon. And so
Great call
that was
out.
one of the other things that I remembered from playing it. And not the not remembering holes is to take nothing away from the golf course. I think it's a great golf course. But it does strike you differently than the other courses.
I remember the exact same thing. Like, I remember getting this particular feeling being on Bandon Trails. Like, hey, we've entered into a completely different world. And for the next, you know, I probably realized this maybe on like hole three when you first play that. I think it's a par five, hole three. And you know, like you're hitting honestly, like your first tee shot of the day that's tree lined on all the way down the right hand side. And it's just like, wow, this is really cool. Like I'm seeing some bunkers in the middle of the fairway, but I'm also seeing trees, mulch, like a dirt cart path. And you're just kind of like on a walk. That's what it feels like. And I'm with you, Tommy. Like, I don't know. I think this would be the course that I think I have a vote for what I think the most difficult hole was, but I don't know if I have a favorite hole because the entire experience was fantastic. Like I just remember how I felt on that golf course, and it was great. So it just like felt special for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's just that it's that different than the other courses. But the no ocean thing, when people talk about it, they always make it sound negative. Like, oh, I don't hear the ocean. Okay, that must be bad because I went to Bandon to play by the ocean. And then when you go play this course, you're just like, oh my gosh. In my opinion, I was like, this might be the greatest golf course I've ever played. So, taking a truck to a tee box is a little bit weird, but once you get that view, I think it's like, yeah, I'll hop in the back of a Tundra to get to 14T any day to experience that view on the top of 14T. So,
Yeah.
I think that's a great note. So I don't know, usually we go through the course in sections, but I kind of wanted to hit you guys with, it sounds like maybe we're all kind of thinking very similarly with it was more of an experience and not necessarily like, hey, this was, let's go th one through three and four through six and so forth. So, outside of the feeling that you got in the description of this, like being kind of a nature walk with friends, do you have a shot that you remember the most from Bandon Trails? Maybe one shot, or do you have a hole that you remember the most? And why does it stick out in your mind? Could be like, oh, the view. It could be like, hey, I remember this is the best golf shot I hit on that course. But I'm very curious. There are so many different, we'll say, types of golf shots hit on the second 18 of our third day on property. So we could go any direction with this.
Tommy, is 16 a par 5? That's that specific hole stands out to me because I believe it was essentially uphill into the wind. It felt like a very intimidating tee shot, just generally, because you had to hit a really good drive to give yourself even a chance to kind of like to even give yourself a chance to have a second shot where you could potentially hit it up to the green. And it just felt like really long. And I remember being cold on that hole. Like I was just like walking and I'm like it was starting to get a little dark and the wind was just straight in our face. I'm looking at like the summer prevail wind. And it's like, yes, it would be directly in our face. And you just like you don't really have a lot of room to miss on the left or right. You can miss there, like, and it's not the end of the world. It's just like very difficult to recover from that. And I feel like, Matt, I feel like you birdied it at least. No, did you not birdie it?
I don't think so. Let me check
Did
the tape
Tommy
on
birdie
that.
it? I feel
Some,
like
yeah, I think
someone birdied it, and I was like pretty amazed by that because it was six. It's
Tommy
just
birdied
two.
it in
You had hit
round
two.
one.
Okay. I was like, you had to hit two just like really good golf shots. And yeah, and I'm pretty sure I had like an eight on the first round. I don't remember exactly, but
Dave, you made a six, and Matt Farr made a nine.
I do remember Matt, I think, hit one super far out to the right. And he was literally just playing alongside the like in the long grass all the way up the fairway. But that hole stands out to me because it just felt like such an intimidating tee shot, and then it didn't get any better once you got to like the fairway. You're like you're hitting on some random angle into the wind up to a pretty tight green, but it was a super cool hole. Like you just looked at it and you're like, man, this is really well designed, and it's fair in the sense that if you hit good golf shots, you can birdie it like Tommy did, but it
It's such a
was
hard hole.
it's super hard. It's super hard. So that was the one I think that stood out to me. I felt like there were a lot of other hard holes on the course, but that one in particular was like brutal for me. And I just struggled with it both days. So
I mean, the fairway, the computer screen makes the fairway look like it's 109 yards wide. I'm telling you, I
yes.
mean, you can't see more than 5 yards of green grass from that tee box. And it's like, I
And
remember first
also
time.
the wrong part of the fairway, Matt, you're just
Correct.
screwed. So like, yeah, you can hit it on the fairway, but it's like you might be hitting a 9 iron into then still
Yeah.
have 175 into the wind into a tight green, you know?
I remember the first time I hit that tee shot, I got out there. I'm like, holy cow, there's so much room out here. Like, this is insane. So it just messes with your mind, especially, I mean, it was blowing probably 15, 20 miles per hour in our face on this one. I think, Tommy, I remember like a driver 3 wood for you onto the green, which is
Yeah, that's right.
disgusting. So,
If I
Matt,
remember
that's
correctly,
insane.
the drive was so far right. Dave looked at me and no joke was like, "Ah, we're good. We're just gonna take the high road." And he gave, I think, Dave a couple of clubs, and we're walking literally on some gravel service road. And he's like, "You still got that beef jerky? Why don't you pull that out? We're gonna be here hiking for a while." Like, oh gosh. He's like, "We're gonna need the energy."
Well, he coached you to a nine. So here,
Stop.
I
But he found
forgot.
that ball.
I'm glad we went to
Yeah.
16 first. We just skipped over 8. That's great.
Hey, Dave, we got bludgeoned. I forgot that we played Vegas and you and I were partners in this first round. And
Yeah, Pack
we
beat me up pretty, or Trails beat me up pretty good. 'Cause
yeah, we
I was on a I was pretty I was at my lowest mental capacity after Pack. And then we were like, let's just go play Trails. I just got wrecked by Trails too.
Oh, we were
Oh
down
gosh.
39 points going into 18, so
Nice.
wasn't just your
Thanks
fault.
for
I think you had some double hockey,
partner.
yeah, partner. So yeah. All right. How about you, Tommy? Any favorite, I guess, just memories that come to mind playing track out or playing trails outside of just the general feeling?
Oddly enough, like, as I said, I didn't remember too many holes. The ones that I did vaguely remember before looking at the map were the par threes.
They're so
And
good.
I think, yeah, like you, I was going to say, I think that just as a testament to having some really good par threes. And
Wow, you're right.
they're
You're
all
totally
different
right.
in their own respect, right? You hit through the dunes on one, you come to number two, you've got this
Number
really
two is so
downhill,
good. Yeah.
Par three, it's probably like 170, 180 on the card, if I remember correctly, but it's probably 20 yards downhill. Like it's a substantial drop. And the way it's framed, like with the tall trees and the bunker on the right, like it looks like you have no room. And, it's one of these, you step up and hit a shot, but you get down there and you're like, there's, like you said, man, on the par on 16 on the fairway, you're like, there's so much room. Like short of the green, left of the green, like there's a ton of room down here to miss. That one's cool. Five is kind of a little shorty. A little forced carry over some, kind of vegetation and some sand and,
If I remember right, 5 8 our launch,
It
right?
did.
I mean, yeah,
Yeah,
like
five. Just because
for
you
a
hit, I
hundred
think
and
I tripled
thirty yard,
five.
140 yard par three.
I think we had two balls
Yeah.
on the green and they were 2 3 putts.
Yeah,
And then yeah, so
It's not easy,
I think
especially
we all
depending on
played
pin
the
location.
we all played the 240 yard par three better than we did that 130 yard par
12.
three. Yeah,
Yeah.
12 was
So
cool.
I was gonna say 12 is 12 just long. It's through the woods. Just a, long iron hybrid wood, whatever you got, get it up there. And then, 17 is just a brute. Depending on which tee box you play, it feels like there's 40 tee boxes that you can play on that hole, all different
Yeah.
angles, all different distances. But another one that's just straight to the fan and, not much room up by the green, but, just a really cool look, going back towards the ocean, back towards the dunes. And so that's probably the thing that stands out. Kind of the most I would say is just the quality of par threes. At least at first thought.
And Sorry, Matt. But like, isn't that such a testament to the golf course design? Because think about the other par threes that we just talked about on Pac Dunes. It's
Yeah.
like, oh, sweet, we're hitting at the ocean. Oh, sweet, we're hitting along the ocean. Oh, okay. Are there par threes
Or
better than
even
this? Well,
Bandon,
there might be. Yeah, or
16
Bandon.
or 6, like two iconics.
Yeah.
It's Tommy, you like dropped some serious truth bombs there, because I literally, that's the only course that I remember all four par threes extremely well. Even on PAC, I'm like, I remember two of them. And you know, I probably remember the rest of them, but it's like, I just, yeah, with this one though, I'm like, I know exactly what shots I hit on all of the holes, and I know exactly what type of shot I had to hit and what feeling I had standing over my ball. Because I remember the last par three, it's like a crosswind slash kind of into your face, and you're up high, and like, man, you have to hit such a good shot down there. It's like, yeah, that was a good call though, man.
Matt, what do you remember?
I had two holes that stood out. Speaking of the par threes, I remember that long par three 12, but then when we turned the corner and kind of played back, that's where specifically I remember the mist rolling through, on that par four, and that was a really cool hole, especially the
Yeah.
the downhill and then the mist as it rolls through.
You're talking 15?
13.
Oh, 13, 13, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't play that one too well, but that one, just I wrote down a mental note of like the mist looks so cool rolling through there. And I think part of it was because you get elevated for the tee shot on 13 to start, so you just kind of see it all rolling through. The second hole that I remember the most was the sand pit of death on 6. And yeah, that's a cool story, just because Kangaroo Dave is the most positive. And I don't know, was it Kangaroo Dave that told me, hey, yeah, that's the sand pit of death, you're not getting out of there? Or was it Luis?
It was Luis.
Okay, makes
Kangaroo Dave
sense.
is way too positive. He'd have been like, dude, we can get up and down from there.
And you can.
And you can. I don't know what game we were playing, but
Vegas.
we were playing Vegas. All right. On 6,
I think that's when I knew we were gonna lose.
just this m massive, per the map from the tee box. You're not hoping to hit your driver 140 into the world's largest bunker. But I did. And Luis aptly told me that you're just, yeah, that's, I've never seen anybody get out of there without
He,
hitting a really high score.
Matt Luis made a claim walking down hole six. He's like, yeah, I've only been in that bunker twice my whole career. He was so proud that he'd only been in there twice.
Nobody
It's
comes out
so weird. It's
alive.
so odd. I'm literally looking at the interactive view, and you can like just see the bunker that you ended up in. And yeah, dude, brutal. Like, you know, this, it, you should not have made anything less than a bogey, on that, 100%. So.
Yeah, just not ideal. Found myself into that massive bunker and somehow walked away with just a bogey on 6,
I thought
which,
you parred it, dude.
yeah, I thought he parted too.
I
I
feel like you
did
parred
too.
it.
Oh, I did. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it was so impressive. It
Yeah,
was
he did. He
like,
hit it up by the green and got it up and down, if I remember
yeah.
correctly. It's a
Yep.
brutal 4 for 3.
Correct. I guess I was popping. So yeah, I parred that, and then
Lost 19 points on that hole.
went on to make true birdie on 8 as well.
Dave, I'm sorry, but you said
Partner.
I think that's when I knew we were gonna lose. We were up 15 points before that hole, and then we left that hole down 4.
Yeah.
So we it was like a Morgan
Tight
Freeman
match.
story.
Was that the
Like
first
they would never regain
or
the
the
lead.
second time? That was the first
Was it
time we
eight?
played.
First time.
You were leading by
Yeah.
at hole 8, Matt?
No, we
Or
were
6?
leading after
6.
hole 5 by 15, and then after hole 6 we were down 4. So that was
You
a
gave us the
momentous
spark
golf
we
shot.
needed, Matt.
Yeah.
No one comes out of the sand pit of death.
That's right.
This guy.
Except this
Except
guy.
for Matt Farr.
Oh, man. I don't know if anybody else is going to think it's the hardest hole on the course, but I remember two things about this golf course in terms of like shots. And one of them was the second shot into 13. I thought it was so cool. And then the tee shot on 15 just lives rent free in my head. I'm not really sure what you're supposed to hit. I'm not really sure where I'm supposed to focus my eyes. I'm not really sure how to play the hole well. I just thought that hole was like brutal. After I remember making par on 14, and both days I was like, sweet, dude, I made par on the controversial 14th hole. One of the times I even hit it in a bad spot and still escaped with par. And then it's like you get to 15, you're like, all right, cool, 405 yards. Like we're good. No problem at all, right? No. Almost like shanked the second shot up in the weeds on the first time. And then the second time I was like, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't hit driver. Maybe I should hit three wood. I don't know. Where do I hit the other clubs? It was just for me that hole was so difficult. Maybe it was because we played it dead into the wind both days.
Do we play it back? Do we play it at the 405 tee?
We did.
Okay. I was gonna say, I feel like that one's got to be easier.
So the
Because
second,
that bunker smack in the middle of the fairway is like
right.
300 yards, I think, from the back tee. So,
First time we played it, we played up at
okay.
367.
That
Second
makes
time we
it
played it, we played 406.
okay.
Yeah.
367 makes it really weird and awkward.
What'd you hit first time we played it from the tee mat?
I probably hit driver. It just, I think it might be too much club. I mean, I made bogey. No, I doubled it the first time, and then I parred it the second time. Which I to Tommy's point, I think that back tee really helped me, because it just, I don't know, just, I didn't hit the right club the first time. I remember that. I remember not being in a comfortable spot at all, and then just kind of knowing this. There are some holes like 16 where you hit the tee shot, you get out there, and you're like, yeah, there's a lot more room out here. Or even hole one. I mean, hole one, you can't see anything. You're just like,
Yes.
yeah, hit it right here. And you're like, dude, am I hitting it in a car path size fairway? And then you get out there, you're like, there's 90 yards out here. This is insane.
I'm so
So,
glad you said that because I wanted to start the whole like course review of like one is so intimidating, but I was assuming you guys gonna be like, oh yeah, one's just a handshake par four, and I'm gonna be like, visually, I was knee
no, it was
knocking out there,
crazy.
going
It
like,
was
I don't know where
brutal.
the
No.
hell I hit this ball,
We
but
were rushing to the
then you hit it
tee,
though, and it's
right?
like
On the
yeah.
first round. And we're like, I remember like hitting my, I think I hit my driving iron or my hybrid or something. And I was like, where do we hit the ball? And
There's no
I think
fairway out
Tommy,
there.
you hit it in the left bunker. Maybe I hit it just short of the
I
bunker and
did
just
hit the
got
bunker.
lucky. But I remember being like, why
You
are
hit a
we on the left
great,
side?
Matt,
Like,
I
there's
remember you
80
hit a great
yards to the
shot
right.
from like
Yeah.
the crap that you were in, and then I think you made par, and I was like, I think you were on my
I
team. Did you
birdied that
make par
hole.
on the first one or the
Bogeyed
first
it.
time we
I
played together?
birdied it.
You birdied it?
Yeah,
Dude,
it
that's
was
what
like
I'm
a
like,
back pin.
I was gonna say, I remember being like, oh crap, because I didn't think you didn't hit a very good shot off the tee, and then you stuck, and I was like, all right, we got this,
Yeah.
and then we didn't get it and we lost, but
I guess
from where Matt was, correct. Yeah.
I just like I don't know. I mean, I always tell you guys like if I don't have a great round and I still think so highly of the golf course, like in my mind, that is a great golf course because it was so well designed and I enjoyed the experience so much that I didn't need my score to like add to that experience. And I remember the fairways where you can't see hardly anything. There were tons of room. And then when he does show you stuff, like on 15, I mean, when you look at 15, it's like, man, there's bunkers everywhere. And there's like long fescue grass just kind of creeping into your visuals everywhere you look. So it's like, okay, cool. You want to see the hole? Like, I'll let you see everything that you're going to play. And it's going to be twice as challenging. So. I don't know what I like better, the blind ones where it opens up or the ones where everything's in front of me and it shows me the tests. But I remember that second shot into 13 being awesome. And then just the tee shot on 15, I just remember like how difficult I personally found that.
What's the controversy with 14? That's the elevated tee shot, and it's like just huge sloping to the right.
Yeah.
You really want to stay left.
I mean, I'm kind of compiling in 30 seconds, many, many different takes here, but the thought process on the controversy is that there's just not a large enough area to land a really, really good tee shot. And there is truly no good place to miss on the hole. And so, what I have heard from others is that if you do not hit a perfect tee shot, then people feel like it turns into just kind of like gimmicky. You know, you can play the ball back and forth across the green multiple times and actually hit some pretty good shots. So, you know, I mean, it's only 325 and it's elevated. So I think we hit three woods and might have even hit a hybrid one day playing it downwind. So it's,
I
I
hit
don't
a
know. It's,
four. I hit my four driving iron both days,
yeah.
and I absolutely roasted it both days.
I do remember that.
And I just like didn't have any problems with this hole. That was like the weird thing about it. But I remember that like on the right side, it's rough because you're hitting well on the left and right. To your point, Matt, it's just like you can hit. You can try a little bump and run or something, and just roll down off the fairway. You know, and if you hit it a little too far, rolled all the way down, and then on the right, yeah, if you know you miss on the right, you can very easily, you know, hit it too far over. And but
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
yeah, I mean, I think the
But
play there is not any sort of wood. Like, you know, it's tempting because it's
really?
so short, but yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it seems like
What
everything can
else are you going
go.
to do though? Are you going to
I
hit
know.
seven iron, Dave, off
It
the
seems
tee?
dude,
Like
I hit well,
everything.
I hit four, I hit my four driving iron, and I like both days I was like, you know, I hit it basically like 240, 250, and then I had like 60 yards in, and I was like, that was it was it just didn't feel that hard. But if I hit wood, I feel like there's a chance you're in a really bad spot if you hit a bad wood shot, but I don't know.
I think this is where the controversy is at, is if you lay it up, I think the score can get as bad or worse as just going for it. Like at some point on 14, you have to hit a really, really, really good golf shot. And I think you just choose to pick,
Yeah,
like, is that going to be
you're
my
right.
second shot or is that going to be my first shot? For some of us, it was none of our shots. But I mean,
Did you drive this one, Matt?
I think so. I
Someone
think,
did. Yeah.
man. I parred it both times. So, oh, you know what? This is what I forgot about this. I drove it to the fringe. I think I bump and run chipped it and it rolled off the green and into the bunker. And I got up and down from the bunker because I don't remember having a
Gosh.
birdie putt on this hole. And we
Yeah.
were all like, whoa. And then honestly, the caddies, I remember the caddies being more surprised getting the ball up and down from the bunker than they were that I just chipped it across the green into the bunker. So, I don't know. I mean, I think my score is like causing a little bit of bias, maybe like parring it both days, but it's a hole where you got to get locked in, which
Heck of a
after
par.
standing up there looking at the view and reading the plaque, maybe that's a little bit difficult to get locked in on that tee shot.
I think it's one that, like, we talked about it on pack, but if my recollection is correct, like the front half of that green is more narrow than the back half. And it's crowned, and so it's
Yep.
falling off on both sides. And so I think, to your point, Dave, if the pin's in front, like you're better off leaving it short. Like you don't want to be pin high trying to pitch it across that crowned green, and it's narrow. If it's in the back, you've got a little bit more wiggle room. If you're pin high or, I think those couple bunkers there, you can kind of play around a little bit when it's more in the back because you're pitching it more, towards the back of the green, not directly across. Like that front bunker to a front pin is like that's probably the bunker you were talking about, Matt, that like they're
Yeah.
like nobody gets it up and down from here.
And pin high, well, let me rephrase, green high to the right, but not in the bunker, absolute death. Like, congratulations, you hit it even with the pin, and you now get to hit a 35-yard flop shot. Let's see, you got to elevate the shot. I don't know. what, 25 feet? And oh, by the way, the green is crowned.
Yeah.
Like, you're screwed.
I
So
remember getting very lucky the second time because I remember hitting it right. The pin was towards the back, but where it ended up, I could kind of play it around the bunker or between the bunkers, and you keep it on the ground and get it up onto the green as opposed to trying to fillet one open and try and flop it up there. But that was pure luck. It's not a great place to be.
find yourself
All
in
right.
jail. It's always good to have a friend, preferably a
Sure.
friend with a six and a zero on the bottom of the club.
Can we spend a little time on 18? Because
Yeah.
I just want to talk about this finishing hole for a
Just want
while.
to talk about your birdie.
Oh, that too. But
Is this a hole you like?
I think it's
He did birdie it.
He did. He hit like an amazing shot into the wind. To
I
like 2 feet.
hit two amazing shots, to be clear. My
Oh,
drive was
sorry.
great.
Apologies.
And yeah,
Hang
it's
on.
okay.
I'm taking notes for this
Sorry.
podcast.
I'll
So
edit
hit
that
my
out.
drive,
We won't
hit my four
we don't
driving
need
iron,
apologies.
240, 250, and
I think it's
I didn't hit one good shot. I hit
he
two
just
good shots.
shot
No,
it
that's
hit my
3
I hit
wood
my driving iron 240, 250 with the
in the
wind, I'm pretty
air.
sure, downhill. So, you take that as you will,
Wet
listener.
conditions.
What condition? No, I just think
Didn't tee it
18 is
up.
super fun because it's one of those holes that you have, like, you have kind of a you can go for it, or like you can hit maybe a little bit of a safer shot. And I think we
Wait,
all
hang on, hang
like
on, hang on.
just
When do you go for it? What are we going for?
well, no, I mean,
It's a
like,
par
I think
four. What
there
are we
was
talking about?
so. So hold on. Let me go back to the flyover here.
And
And make
listen,
sure I'm
I
not
love the golf
insane.
hole, so I'm not debating it, but I was just thinking like it's kind of like a little bit of a survival type tee shot.
Well, I think if I remember,
Right
and
is
maybe I'm
bad.
full of crap,
Right is
right?
bad.
Like,
I hit mine left and Luis goes, that's probably right in this bunker. So I was like, you just told me right is bad.
So if I remember, you can kind of play it out a little more to the left if you want to be safe and not hit like driver. Like you can hit like a 3 wood,
That's what I would do.
and
Yeah.
right. And or you can really go for it and try to cut the corner and hit driver, and it's possible works out really well, but there's such a small margin of error that like it's probably not worth it. And I'm pretty sure I hit driver both times. But the right play is probably 3 wood, to be clear. But I just liked that you kind of had like this, like, oh, I can like kind of cut the corner a little bit with driver, hit it over the bunker there, and then have a nice little shot into the green. But maybe I guess I shouldn't say you're going for it, but I think you have two different options. One could potentially, result in a easier wedge shot into the green, and then the other is going to be a little longer, and you're going to be hitting directly into the wind. So,
Yeah, I think the right's totally dead, but the line that I went on day two, Kangaroo Day, was like, that's the pro line. We'll see if it works out for you. Penalty stroke.
that's what it was. He said, like the pro
That's
line
the
and
pro
the
line.
whatever. That was why I kind of liked the this hole because it was just, yeah. Anyway.
Didn't
This
work
is,
out for me.
I don't think I hit 3 wood on either day, but this is a hole that I think if I were caddying for somebody and they were a good player, I would say, hey, just hit 3 wood. And instead of hitting a wedge, you're going to have like a 9 iron or an 8 iron in. It's no big deal. It's a big green. Like, just accept that you're going to be in the fat of the fairway.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a sounding like a controversial opinion on these holes. 1 and 18, I did not think were great. Largely, I think because they're through the dunes and they're necessary from where the clubhouse is to get you out to kind of where the meat of the course is. But they didn't do much for me. As you, there's so many good golf holes through the dunes that these just kind of felt like, I don't know, almost like
Forced.
mechanisms to get you to kind of the forest and to where you were going to spend the vast
Yeah.
majority around.
I don't know if you're trying to do this with that take, Tommy, but like that's kind of a huge compliment to the other 16
For
golfers.
sure.
Like, that's how good they are. Because
Totally.
but like I'm trying to, I think one is probably my least favorite opener of all the ones.
That makes sense.
It's like so challenging. It doesn't need to be.
And 18 might be my least favorite closer.
More you like, so you would take Pac Dunes 18 over this one. That's my least favorite.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's have a conversation, Tommy, because I know this is a family podcast, but I have some choice words for number 18 on Pac Dunes.
You could earn
Understood.
us an explicit rating on this podcast
I
with just your
could.
Pac
Yes,
Dunes
I could.
takes.
That's fair. Pac Dunes is probably down there too. But it just feels like, and I don't
It's
know,
not
maybe it's
special.
the it's not, and maybe it's just kind of the nature of, the rest of the course and, kind of playing through nature, playing through the trees. Like, one, to some degree, there's like a, a little bit of anticipation getting back there, and you're transitioning topographies, and so you
I thought.
kind of sense the where you're going. And then 18 just kind of feels like a, okay, we've run out of trees. Like, let's get back to the house.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I thought the second shot on one was cool. The tee shot was like, wait a
You
minute.
just couldn't see
It's
anything,
20
so it
mile
was
per hour
just,
downwind. We're hitting like
yeah.
three irons. Like, and oh, by the way, there's 90 yards. Like, I appreciated some of the architecture, but like, once we got to hole two, and then even like when you go from hole 17, which is
Right.
unbelievably good, and then you go to 18, you're like, yeah, it's fine. That's I'm with you.
See,
It playing it at sunset like was kind of cool because it was like, all right, cool, it's
yeah,
getting
that was
dark. But
cool.
like the second time we played Trails
Was like,
18, it was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, no big deal.
Tommy, I look at this like how you're playing like Super Mario Bros. In a water world. Where like you start on land and you're like, you have to, right? And then you go down the little pipe or whatever and you're in the water. It's a whole water. It's like amazing, right? It's like awesome, cool little. And then you gotta go up at some point back into the land. And then you go back up to the land and you maybe finish a little bit and then you're done. And so like that was like it felt like it was like I looked at it as like a reminder of like this isn't normal for Bandon. So like remember what is actually happening. And it was number one is like you're in dunes. And I was like, okay. And then they're like, okay, but now you're going into all of these other things. And then 18 is like, remember that you're at Bandon Dunes. Like you're not in the middle of a forest in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right? Like it's like you're in Bandon. That was how I had it in my mind.
Couldn't
So
have said it better myself.
Last time you boys played Super Mario Bros.
dude, it's a great
Ugh.
game, first of all. But
I had a Game Boy
I
once.
agree, Tommy, that it, like I didn't particularly think they were like these amazing holes, but I loved how they did the transition. It was like a it was like remember where you are, and then you go through all of these things, and it was like remember where you are right at the end, right? So that's why I liked one in 18 was just it was a reminder of like where you actually were before you were getting into this whole new world that was like so different than any of the other courses that we played, you know, for that 5 days that we were there. So
Sure, I understand why they need to be there. I'm just saying they feel like a necessary evil to me, not a,
yeah.
not a like string of amazing golf holes. Like
Oh, that's true.
the
Yes.
climax to the round is not 18. It's,
Yeah.
back in the trees, and then you're just kind of coming down. So that's all. That was my take for 18, if as we're singing its praises.
Well, we were to be fair, we were
But
talking
Dave had
about
two good
Dave
shots.
making birdie, you know. That's a
Yeah,
and
I
he
don't
was
know if
considering
that
going
goes
for it.
into it.
I think I just enjoyed the you have these weird two options off the tee. That was like the most the thing that I enjoyed the most, because it was just like you can like be safe or tr be safe, right? You can still hit a bad shot, or you can go the pro line and just go, let's see what happens and just hammer a drive and hope for the best. But
Really bummed I haven't incorporated that into my lexicon more, the pro line, because
yeah,
a lot of those mishits, like
I'm
today when I
glad
was
you remember
playing,
that
I should have
actually,
just told
Matt.
folks, yeah, I'm taking the pro
Yeah.
line, you know?
Why don't you just say that the next time you're playing with some guys who haven't been to a course? That's the pro
Like, this
line.
is the pro line. This is
Yeah.
the amateur line.
Snape, Sandpit of Death, that's the pro line.
Hey, while we're talking about controversy, you know, maybe we'll be 4 for 4 in favor here, but what do we think about the butterfly logo? Matt Farr said he's out on it.
Pass. Not
Yeah,
my favorite.
I didn't
Not my
buy.
least
I
favorite
didn't.
though.
Yeah. Wait,
Okay.
what's your least favorite? Hold on.
Pac
What's your least
Billy's,
favorite?
those dancing dolphins. No
Oh,
way, dude.
the
Seals, man. The seals, whatever.
seals.
Get out of here. Let's
There
two of the
was a
worst
dead seal on the
logos. Two of the
beach
worst logos.
that we got.
I would take Preserve's logo over almost, I mean, a good number of
Preserve's
them,
logo is
but
awesome.
Preserve's
Preserve's
logo's
sick.
sick.
Yeah.
You'd take it
Obviously, Old
over.
Mac's
You'd
sick.
take it over the standard Old Mac logo.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm big on
Yeah.
Ghost Tree logo. I'm big on Preserve, and I'm big on the Puffin.
Matt
Trails and
Farr,
Pac Dunes are just down there in terms of logos.
you got to write this idea down, but we just maybe need to have like an entire like logo golf logos podcast. You know,
Would
we can
love
all
it.
bring like our top five and just kind of
Maybe we can get
there's.
Shane Bacon as a guest, because he's got that company where he just does a bunch of golf design logos.
Here,
They needed to call Shane to design those things, man. They stink.
send him an email.
I'll give you my spoiler alert take on logos, and you probably already know if you've listened to any of these podcasts. But
Which all of our dedicated listeners do.
correct. But the logo with lots of words is a no-go for me. And when I think back to the Trails logo, the butterfly itself is kind of unique and interesting. If they could put that on a shirt, on a hat, but in like a small nature, I'd be in. But the only things you could get logoed were either the butterfly with Bandon Trails written below it, or you saw things on hats, but it was like the massive like
Huge.
butterfly logo or some, you
Yeah.
know,
Or all
something that,
caps
correct.
Trails. Yeah, get
Something
out of
that
here with that.
doesn't, you know, necessarily jive with how I like to view logos. I like them as a little bit of a if you know, you know sort of thing. Like
Yes.
the secret.
Elitist, I like it. Secret society.
If you see somebody wearing a shirt with, you know, a couple dancing dolphins and you ask them if they went to Pac Dunes and they say no because the Pac Dunes logo is a couple seals, then, you know, you're in good company. But you know,
Thanks, Tommy.
that's just me.
Partner.
Partner,
Partner.
as I don't,
How could I
you
forget
know.
sheep? Or not, yeah, but sheep, but the SR and the hook, sick.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Yeah, really good.
They have the most minimalist logo.
Yeah, it's
That
the
and
best.
just the puffin fish.
But
The Ghost Tree
that's it.
Truck
I
Man.
mean,
Give me just the cut of a
a good
sheep.
question. A good question to
Yeah.
ask is literally like, did anyone buy the butterfly logo? And the
I did.
answer is like,
I bought the
oh, you
flag.
did.
I bought
Oh,
the
you did. You
flag
bought the flag. Oh,
because
okay.
in I bought a little light t-shirt hoodie.
Okay.
I gotta be honest, I wasn't
But you
even,
don't like it?
what do you
I
mean? The
wasn't
logo? Super,
Yeah.
like I
Well, I
wasn't
like the
super
course.
stoked. I like the
That's
orange.
fair.
I really like the orange flags. And I bought the flag because I collect flags and I felt like this was, after we played it the first time, I was like, I think this might be my favorite course out here. And so I was like,
Yeah.
I feel like I gotta buy something. And I'm with Tommy. Like every piece of apparel I looked at, I'm like, I don't really want the giant logo. Yeah. I remember this pro shop having great stuff with just bad logos.
Yeah,
So
they did. And I didn't buy anything because I just didn't like the logo.
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't buy anything either.
All right. Well, I didn't know we were all gonna be 4 for 4 against it. I thought somebody would have said, man, this is my jam here. But yeah, a tiny little butterfly with no words would
In.
actually be sweet.
Sign me
So
up.
yeah.
I buy
Yeah,
all the things.
what if it was a
Way better
black
than dancing
butterfly?
dolphins.
But yeah.
Yeah, dancing
Sorry for
dolphins.
whatever club in, Florida or California or
Puerto
whatever
Rico.
has Dancing Dolphins as their
Yeah,
logo.
seriously. Yeah, I'm sure we
But
offended
would love to
someone
see
there,
it.
but well, boys, I don't know where this takes us for the bourbon part of the podcast, but Dave and I were already joking with one another that we were both drinking Blanton's. So please, from the audience, don't fire any shots. But we had bottles already open, so
Give us your
nice.
review.
Oh, I mean, I think I've
Polarize the
interviewed. It's a
polarizing bottle
fine
that is.
bourbon, and
Yeah.
I will drink it.
I'll tell you what, on today,
What
Memorial
a
Day,
review.
no matter what we're drinking, everything goes down smooth in the light of,
Yes.
folks paid the ultimate sacrifice
Yeah,
for
cheers to
four
our troops.
yuccos to sit here on a podcast, Zoom video call, talking about
Yeah.
golf and drinks and whatever it
Guys.
is we want to do today. Thank you for the freedom. Got to give a big shout out to the folks that paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah,
Yeah,
in case
everything tastes good today.
you that's spot on. In case nobody catches on that, it's Memorial Day. For the first time in my life, I did the Murph workout this morning. Now I altered it. I did
Sick.
dumbbell rows instead of pull-ups because I don't have a pull-up bar. I did the whole thing like in my driveway. And let me tell you guys, it's tough. I'm gonna be struggling in the morning.
Yeah.
You run a mile and then you have to do 100 pull-ups, or in my case, I did the dumbbell rows with, I think I had 35 pounds on each dumbbell, and I did them at the same time because I was like, if I do them one at a time, like that's too easy. So and then you got to do 200 push-ups and 300 air squats. And my initial strategy was 10, 20, 30, 10, 20, 30, 10, 20, 30. Well, that worked until I got to 50 of the basically halfway through. And I was like, I'm really struggling to get 20 push-ups. I was getting to like 17, 18, take a breather, do two more, then do my air squats. And I finally finish and I get to the second mile. And I promise there's a reason I'm telling the story, Matt. It's because the note that you gave. I am running my second mile and my legs are like just like not working. I was like, dude, I had no problem with the air squats. Like, I couldn't wait to get to the air squats. So I was like, yeah, I'm fine with these 300, no problem. I mean, when I started down my driveway to run the second mile, I was like, what just happened? I think I got shot in each leg. And I'm running the second mile. And I do remember thinking, I was like, dude, like you're running outside on your road at the time of your choosing with the shoes of your choosing, and you're gonna have the snack of your choosing after this is done. And all I could think of is I was like, dude, somebody's like doing this workout in Afghanistan like for their life kind of thing. So I had like a little motivation. I was just doing it by myself and it was a workout. But then on that second mile, I just kind of like thought of the guys, the troops and stuff, and the gals, sorry gals, but thought of the troops. And I was like, I can run another mile. Like we can finish the second mile. So it like got me through the workout, but I was exhausted at the end. And then I learned that some people do it with like a 25-pound vest on. So
Yeah.
felt pretty bad about myself after that.
I'm impressed you did it. Nice work, dude.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I explained it to the boys. They're like, why is it called a Murph? And I had to tell them, there's
Give them the whole
a troop
story.
that, yeah, had to put himself in
You should
enemy
go watch
fire. And yeah,
the
what's
Lone
the
Survivor,
movie?
Mark, what's his name?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Thank you. Golly, I
Yeah.
couldn't remember his name.
He's done a couple of movies.
Small name.
Big
Owns a
golf
car
nut.
dealership here.
Yeah. So, anyways, but yeah. So, to Dave's point, very good bourbon. I think I've always been around a 3.25 on our scale of 1 to 5 with Blanton's, and or sorry, our scale of 0 to 5. We have gone below one. But I'm about 3.25. It's really good.
What
I
did you
always
rank
grab it.
it when we did the blind of, or were you at the blind when we did Blanton's Eagle?
Yeah.
Buffalo. What did you rank it?
I think it was right around 3.25 because I remember
No.
I've always told people I think E.H. Taylor's small batch is my favorite of their, kind of traditional lineup. And I think I went like 3.5 on E.H. Taylor. I remember a lot of, but you know what? What I do remember that surprised me is I think Buffalo Trace and Blanton's tied in my score. And
Yep.
a big, big surprise, which I guess shouldn't surprise me because I love just
That
some
was a
regular
turning
buffalo
point for me
trace.
in my bourbon journey, was like that tasting. I was like, I'm not going to be a fanboy for like just like the stuff that, you know, people are going after because it's popular and hard to get. Because like I think I gave Buffalo Trace like a 3.25. I think Blanton's was like a 2.75. I think Eagle was like a 3. And I was just like, dude, Buffalo's 27.99 or 26.99 or whatever, and it's a pretty good bourbon. And if I can't like, you know, show if I can't drastically tell a difference between a bottle that is theoretically $70 more than, you know, this Buffalo Trace bottle, if you're buying secondary, right? Then it's like what am I doing? Like I need to start like branching out and trying different things. And so, you know, and you guys have contributed to that as well in this podcast. But yeah, I think I don't have any bottles of Blanton's left at this point. I maybe have a swig of, I guess I should say, I have like a, maybe a swig of Blanton's left, but I don't know if I'm gonna actively seek out another one. Like, I don't know. I don't think I would wait in line for one. Like, I just, you know. It's fine, and I know I can get it for like $100 if I need one. But yeah, it's just it's a good fine bourbon, but it's not anything special or unique. It's kind of where I've landed. So
Tommy,
yeah.
Matt, what are you guys enjoying?
Tommy, you wanna go?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of Eagle Rare. Felt like an appropriate thing to
Hell yeah.
drink on this Memorial Day. Nice bald eagle there on the bottle.
Love it. And honor the boys that laid down their lives, I'm drinking one of my faves, Bardstown number 12.
Love it.
Nice.
Nice. I
Any
thought you were
bourbons
gonna.
you guys are? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
No, sorry. I thought Matt, when you the way you prefaced it, I was like, he's gonna have just some like obscure, like I found this bottle in the heart of
That's what I thought
Texas.
too.
It's got an American flag on it.
It's like Kenny Chesney's American Spirit Freedom bottle.
Yeah,
Like, and
I
you're
thought
like,
Terry
oh no,
Bradshaw's
just
would be great for
a
today.
really good bottle of Bardstown. It's like, oh,
I
okay.
do have
Just an
one.
elite bottle. Yeah. Oh, let's see it. Let's
I
see it,
hope.
Tommy.
I can't wait to see what Tommy comes pulling out of the closet.
Oh no. Dave, to your point, while he's grabbing something, I don't have anything that I'm hunting. I've been trying to keep myself from hunting anything. I think I bought like
Yeah.
six bottles through the first 5 months, and I haven't bought, or no, like the first 2 months. I haven't bought a single bottle in like over 3 months, so.
Oh, I need to hear once we see Tommy's body bottle. I need to. Oh, yeah.
Prohibition cigar blend.
I love
Wow.
Yeah, this is called Art of the Spirits. I'll get you guys a taste of this at some point.
Wow. Is that a
But
cannon on the back?
yeah, I mean it's like
That's awesome.
it's all, all in collaboration with, military organizations, and lots of funds go to, support the troops and all that kind of stuff. It's a really cool brand. They source stuff out of Missouri and Colorado, I think.
Nice.
This one's really good.
Well,
I could have poured my Field of Dreams
I knew you were
batch
going to
number
say that.
one.
Batch number one. Oh
Shout out to
man.
my mother-in-law who got it for me about 4 or 5 years ago.
Still have it.
Saving it for a
It's
real, real
terrible.
special occasion.
Are you saving it
It's
like Matt dumped that
so
horse
bad,
soldier on
dude.
us? Who who's
Yes.
who who's the baseball player on the lid though?
I don't know. There's a baseball player in the lid?
Is
Yeah.
it Kevin
Kevin
Costner?
Costner.
No, I my my mother-in-law
Hold
got
on,
me
I'm gonna
showing
go
it,
check.
Donnie. Mine was Chipper Jones.
Oh, all right. Oh man.
Try to teach something new every night,
I love it. You know what? Annie was asking me about the 96 Braves song by Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just been ripping his new album on Spotify, and she goes,
It's 98 Braves.
or 98 Braves, yes, thank
It's
you.
okay. Yep.
98 Braves, she goes, I mean, were there two
Were they good?
Joneses on that team? And I was like, oh yeah, Andrew Jones played center field and he was a stud. And she was like, But they just talk about Chipper Jones. I'm like, well, yeah, everybody knows Chipper Jones. But everybody
Aaron
forgets about
didn't.
Andrew Jones. So that team
Reds
was
fans don't forget
loaded.
about Andrew Jones
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Jim Edmonds for that matter.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Tommy, there's a picture of a corn cob
Oh,
on
lame.
the first batch. I don't know about the second, third, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah, the first batch is, yeah, maybe they were gonna see how it did, and now it's, I don't know, I haven't had it since,
You ever
but like
followed up Lands with some Field of Dreams?
I
Love it.
just don't want to buy it because just the first bottle was tasted like rubbing alcohol. So, also I'm happy to change my opinion. Field of Dreams, marketing folks, if you want to send us a new bottle, we're happy to sponsor you. Be sponsors, whatever. You can sponsor the podcast and be great.
They've got a second
This
product now,
podcast
I
is nothing
think.
but one free ad.
Because
They do
there's,
batch two. They're on batch two now.
well, they have their normal
No,
small batch, but there's
they're
like a,
on number of batches, so.
but there's a second product that they've got now that's like the player series or something.
Nice. You're pivoting.
But, well, I think they still do the small batch, but I think if I remember correctly, this one they've got like the same number of bottles as players that have played in Major League Baseball, if I remember correctly. There's some marketing shtick to it, but it's a little higher proof, and I haven't tried it, but I see it out sitting on shelves.
Very gimmicky in my mind,
Yeah,
but
everybody
yeah,
needs
that one in
a
the
gimmick.
bottle that's a golf club,
amen.
so yeah.
But
Well, boys, we
Matt,
need to.
are you finding it, are you hunting for anything, or are you settled up on your bourbon?
I found an experimental bottle that I picked up. I had tried it before, really liked it. I'm gonna withhold the name because I think I might give it to you guys later. We'll see.
Old Fitz.
Driving to Grand Rapids tomorrow for
Exactly
work.
experimental.
I'll dig around, maybe see some if there's any fun stuff sitting on shelves up in the Michigan area.
Nice.
I love it.
Good stuff.
We gotta get back to our traditional format next time.
In
In
person.
person, get some blind bourbon tastings.
Yes, please.
And obviously we gotta get golf on the schedule. So Matt, Dave said he's got both of his kids on Saturday, so he's in for golf. But I don't know if you want to play Saturday. But Tommy and I are playing somewhere. It's either at his place or at my place, so gotta figure that out.
But no, also don't forget June 20th.
June
We're playing
20th.
Derby. So, I already made the tee time. I called them, and
Said it's
they let us do
Mr.
it.
Lambert.
So, yeah.
Also, it may have been wet, but it was beautiful.
It was not
Yeah.
beautiful in Plant City, or
Really?
well, towards us. Yeah, it rained, and then it was gray and windy. But
Oh yeah, that day was so windy. We walked the
yeah.
dogs that afternoon and I told Annie, I was like, can you imagine
It
if
was
I
like
played
20
golf
plus
in
mile an
this?
hour winds, dude. It
Yeah.
was like, it was
Oh,
pretty.
Friday
But
when we
it,
were supposed to play?
yeah.
Oh yeah. That's kind of bummed we didn't. Yeah. But
Yeah,
it
we could have,
sucked.
Tommy, to be clear. And we probably should have, but that's all right. The 20th,
Hey,
we'll make up for it. We'll be all right.
I think the point is if you're listening to this podcast, play golf with your friends, enjoy great bourbon, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Boys, catch you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.